This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I'm so excited for today because we've got Marcy Dean. She is a mortgage broker with Mortgage Architects.
That's right.
The president is Dustin Woodhouse for Mortgage Architects. No big deal.
Past guest fan favorite, Marcy. This is her first time on the show. This is Marcy Dean's first time.
Friend of the show, I should say. Marcy is a big broker. She operates kind of throughout the Lower Mainland, but she is, I believe she's in headquartered in...
She has a brick and mortar shop in North Vancouver.
In North Vancouver, right. Yeah. And she also has a website called askaboutreversemortgages.ca. And really, that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked so much about home equity lines of credit on the show and how they are a tool, not only for investors, but homeowners looking to access secured lines of credit, which often come at a much lower rate. And over the years, you hear people say, yeah, HELOC, a reverse mortgage, as if they're the same thing. And they're not the same thing.
Right.
And it's great to have Marcy on to not only unpack reverse mortgages and how they can be a tool for people operating in the market, but also just a general conversation about the mortgage market, where we're at, where we're headed, predictions for the year. It runs a gamut.
Yeah, we talk about everything. But you know what? I want to touch on the wealth transfer phenomenon or the generational wealth transfer phenomenon, which is connected to this, right? Because really what we're talking about reverse mortgages, how you can tap into equity in your home.
Right.
And what kind of spurred this conversation was we've been talking a lot about the wealth transfer, how much clear title real estate is owned in Metro Vancouver.
And this is, you're pulling this.
I'm pulling this from our Instagram.
This, yeah. And these are not our numbers, but our Instagram account.
Let me go over it. But really, it's Rennie that's been tracking the wealth transfer phenomenon in Vancouver real estate for a number of years. Just while I'm talking about Rennie, I should mention we have Ryan Berlin and Andrew Ramlow coming on the program.
The Rennie economists.
I think in the next 3 weeks or so, they're going to be here. So I can't wait for that.
They've been on before and it was fantastic. So
yeah, so watch we'll for talk that a little bit more about the wealth transfer then, but this is essentially it. So in 2006, the total value of mortgage-free real estate in Vancouver was estimated to be $123.8 billion. So that's for Metro Vancouver, I should specify. Approximately half of that was owned by homeowners between the ages of 55 to 74.
Okay. It's a lot of scratch.
By 2021, the value of mortgage-free real estate holdings in Metro Vancouver tripled to $373.3 billion. Huge number.
Yeah.
Now, the amount owned by those between the ages of 55 to 74 increased to more than 55%. So $205 billion owned by basically people over 55 years old.
That live in and own property in Metro Vancouver, which is just incredible.
Yeah. So when you think about this, you think this is basically the big takeaway is that boomers are real estate rich in Metro Vancouver. And what that means really is we're watching, and we've been watching now for a number of years, the wealth transfer. So this means that they're gifting money to their children before end of life. And the reason for that is I think there's been a kind of a pivot in how we think of willed money or gifted money, and they want to see, you know, they want to help their kids get into the market. They want to buy multi-generational homes to accommodate family, grandchildren, that sort of thing. Well, we're seeing it all over,
and we're also seeing the push to have to basically push up the transfer because kids just can't get into the market, right? Or young adults, or even millennials.
You need
that down payment.
Yeah.
Right. That's the crucial component. So we're seeing the wealth transfer now. We're going to see a lot more of it. And one of the ways to tap into that real estate wealth that you just described is reverse mortgages.
Yes.
So that's why this is such an interesting conversation with Marcy Dean. And it's only one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
Because there's so many reasons why this is a great conversation.
I'm just thinking, though, if you have a lot of equity in your home, and depending on where you are in your life and what your goals are, this could be one of the more useful episodes we've put out, just because there's so many different things you can do with a reverse mortgage. So stay tuned for that. We also talk about the market, of course, and a lot of other things. Marcy has been in the industry for a long time, and she's got some really great ideas.
100%. So maybe we should cut to our talk with Marcy Dean, mortgage broker at Mortgage Architects.
Can't wait for this.
Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular, with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Okay, so we're here with Marcy Dean from Ask Marcy with Mortgage Architects. How you doing, Marcy?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming down to the studio, Marcy.
No problem.
And we should say Mortgage Architects is Dustin Woodhouse is involved with Mortgage Architects.
Well, he's actually the president, I believe.
He's the president, and we're part of the DLC Group. So biggest mortgage brokerage in Canada is the DLC Group of companies.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, maybe for some of our listeners, Marcy, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I have been in business I'm in my 16th year as a mortgage broker. I own my own brokerage. I'm based in North Vancouver, Ask Marcy, and married 25 years actually of marriage, and two kids who are borderline not kids anymore, 20 and 22. And yeah, I do all things residential mortgages.
And we were talking, your kids, not COVID babies like his kids.
No.
But COVID.
COVID graduates.
COVID grads COVID and universities ruined, yeah. COVID
totally.
Kids.
Thank goodness I had an office to go to, because all of a sudden we went from, you know, kids in their teens where no one's ever home, everybody's out and about, to suddenly we're all home.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. And all home online. You know, I never had to learn so much about how to make Wi-Fi work with four people streaming all day long, every day. It was, talk about a tech nightmare. It was.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I didn't even think, my daughter was 9 or 10, so she was not quite at the age where she hates us yet, where she's moving towards very quickly.
Right.
But it was actually fairly pleasant, but yeah. I guess depending on
it
the age
hard.
And the
it was hard.
Hormones and emotions.
My husband's out on the road every day, and so after 20 plus years in sales, out of the house, he was locked down too with us, me, and sharing an office, which worked fine when he was out on the road.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Yes, it was challenging, but we just celebrated 25 years of marriage. We stayed married, so yeah.
Fantastic. Well, maybe we'll start, Marcy. We're in, the second week of January here, mm-hmm. New year. How's the market from your perspective right now?
Very interesting. It's very quiet. I have surprisingly quite a few pre-qualification clients. They want to run their numbers. And, you know, Vancouver people still make lots of money, let's be honest. So the numbers still work even with these high interest rates. They qualify, but there's not a lot, as you know, not a lot of product. People waiting for something, what we're all waiting for, but prices might go down some more. I was talking to a realtor on the North Shore the other day. Lack of listings is a big concern. I think he said there was something like 18 townhouses under. It was a low, low number for the whole of North Vancouver. So I feel that from our clients. And then the other part I'm doing a lot of counseling on rates and payments doubling and what to do and people coming up for renewal. So remember 2018 was a pretty busy year, right? So those mortgages are all up for renewal this year. And that's a big part of my day, every day, counseling.
And when you say, so just thinking about counseling, because we don't, I mean, we're having conversations with clients all the time, but often it's mortgage brokers who are dealing with the full panic calls. Are you getting those calls right now, or is it kind of, have people sort of digested the increases and are ready for them, or what does that look like?
No, I would say there's a fair number of people who have really don't understand and been on static payments. So nothing's happened except that now the letter verbiage has changed from their lender and you're getting close to your trigger point or your trigger rate. And that's really a misunderstood trigger point, trigger rate. We could probably do a whole episode on trigger point and trigger rate. It's unbelievable how confusing that is for people. So
can we do a 5-minute?
So yeah, I mean, maybe we do that at the end.
Yeah,
here.
Sure,
we can totally
sure.
talk about that. But
so
there's that piece. There's renewals going out from lenders that are at quite high rates, and there's ways you can move lenders at renewal. People don't know that. They should always be talking to a mortgage broker, then maybe staying and going back to their lender. So there's all sorts of conversations going on right now. Honestly, a lot of the time, not money-making conversations. We might not have a deal here. You got to stay with your current lender potentially, but go back and tell them what your broker said. So
I feel like that's everybody in the industry right now. You know, we have conversations in our office about everyone feels like they're still working. It's just, they're just not transacting the same amount, right?
Yeah.
Like this past year, we've seen some really steep increases to rates. Is this something that surprises you?
Yeah. Did we see it coming? No. Did I tell people to go variable throughout 2020 and 2021? Sure. Did I do it myself? You bet. I'm still variable in a couple mortgages and it hurts. Like I'm feeling the pain. It's tempting to lock in, but I'm not going to. You know, we listened to TIFF. What was it? July 2021? The famous statement for a very, very long time. We just didn't all understand what definition of very long time meant, right?
6 months.
Yes. So yeah, it's been surprising and we knew rates were going to stay at 1.45, you know, prime minus one forever. But did we think we were going to get to this place this fast? No, no one thought that. And no end in sight at this moment. Nobody can tell right now when this is going to, I think next week, another rate hike, quarter point probably.
I was just looking back at some of our back catalog early February, March, and we had a lot of people on predicting where rates were going. And that was actually in March of last year. Mm-hmm. That was when we already knew, okay, rates are going up.
Sure.
And they seem to be going up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But even the end point, it wasn't like they were, oh yeah, it's going to be 2.5, maybe 3, you know, 5-year fix are probably going to be 4.8, maybe, you know, worst case scenario, which of course we
We'd never seen a 1-point increase in one announcement. We were telling our clients, oh, it's typically a quarter point at a time, right?
Yeah.
That was historically what it was.
Right.
So for sure, nobody saw this coming. And then on top of all that, you've got all this inflation. Everywhere we look, everything's so much more money, right? So yeah, all of a sudden, everybody's a junior economist. It's really interesting. I'm not the only geek in the room now because I have always been fascinated by all of it. But now everywhere, I was out on the weekend with friends and it's amazing. People are talking about, you know, CPI and economy. And I'm like, wow, okay. And where are interest rates going? And what do you think? Okay, weirdos.
No, I wonder what it's almost like they say when the cab driver is giving you stock tips, that's a sign that you know, you should get out of the market for a while.
Right.
And now the cab driver's like, did you see the CPI reading? Like, it's like everybody's talking about the same
thing.
And
waiting, and people know when the next announcement is. That's what's weird.
Yeah.
Right? Today was CPI. Good news story, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Or at least not a bad news story.
Not a bad news story, yeah.
So it sounds like, I'm kind of curious to hear, you're in variable yourself. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of our clients, me included, went variable mm-hmm. last year.
Yep.
Because it made a lot of sense at that point.
Yep.
With all the information we knew. What are you telling people now? What's the strategic, the kind of smart play if you're either renewing or looking to purchase? Yeah.
So in the last 3 months, in some cases, it's mental health that's come into play here. It's like, if you are calling me every week and booking sessions to talk rates, maybe we need to talk about a strategy to fix you in. And for some people who are a couple years in on a variable, they can maybe fix in for 3 years now. And that might be a good move. Not necessarily economically, because if you're fixing in the mid fives, maybe by the tail end of that 3 years, you would have been better off riding this out. But from a mental health point of view, you're going to sleep at night, your losses, right? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't spend so much time thinking about the Bank of Canada. But people, new mortgages, I'm doing 3 year fixed in a lot of cases, high ratio, so where they have less than 20% down, some of those 5 year fixed rates make sense, especially for first time home buyers who are tight on a tight budget and set it and forget it. Are you going to regret that in year 4 and 5? And then in terms of people up for renewal, well, that's a whole other conversation, because if they're coming out of 2018 5 year fixed rates, for example, they started it in the high twos. They're getting offers at 5 point something. So in those cases, it might be a refinance, reamortizing, pulling it back out. I'm working on that right now for someone. Pull it back out to 30 years, sleep at night. And we did an analysis yesterday. If she took the difference and just set it aside every month in her TFSA and did a lump sum every year, she'd be at the same place in 5 years. But she wouldn't be required to make that bigger payment right now.
Right. So it's all kind of strategic carrying costs to get through this period.
Yeah, exactly.
Historically, Marcy, we've seen when we see this huge run-up in rates, it's often followed by a stabilizing period mm-hmm. and then rates come back down. Do you think that's what we're in for?
I do.
You do?
And that's why my variable rates stay as they are. I do. I think probably by the end of this year, we'll see a rate cut in 2023. But I don't think, we're not going to come down the way we've gone up here. We're not going to go back to prime of 2.45 anytime soon, unless there's some big catastrophe again. Mm-hmm. Let's hope not. But I think, and then there's a lot of pent up demand. We're probably going to have an amazing 2024, right? In terms of the market.
Right.
But I think this year's, we're in for it. It's going to be a bit tougher for sure.
And so you're saying, Marcy, it's interesting because you're not the only one I've heard say this, that, you know, there's, and I think people that are realtors as well, mm-hmm. there's people that are looking to buy. Mm-hmm. It's just like the inventory is terrible for the most part. And, you know, I was talking to a guy yesterday who was like, it's still shocking. You know, it's so underwhelming what you mm-hmm. can get for a exactly. fairly high price tag. And even the good inventory just doesn't seem to show up.
Exactly.
But it sounds like, and I think we're the same, where we have people that are kind of waiting for good inventory. Mm-hmm. They're ready to go. They've talked to a mortgage broker. They're ready to buy. It's just, there's nothing really good to buy, as it sounds like you have people yep. That you're working with in that situation. Which demographic right now of buyer is being hardest hit and has disappeared from the market?
I think the mover uppers. So that middle piece who are maybe in a townhouse thinking they were going to get into a house, or they're in a house and they were going to move up to a bigger house. It's terrifying. You can't sell, because then what if you can't find something to go and buy? Also, when I run the numbers, I just did the numbers for a mover upper. So he's in a one bedroom, wants to go to a two. Well, he barely can qualify for what he has right now already.
Yeah.
So we can refinance and pull him back out to 30 years. Actually, he had a co-signer on his mortgage. But when I show him the reality based on these new high rates of what he can get to move up, it's with his co-signer staying on there. He's like, seriously? This doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I can't move up to anything better. And I'm right. So the first-time home buyers where there's dual income, they're okay still. You know, single income is tricky. You know, you need $120,000 for a $400,000 mortgage in Vancouver right now. So, and you know, depending on where your down payment's coming from, hopefully there's some help from some relatives or something.
Yeah, hopefully because, that makes up half the purchase price at least.
Right. So I actually did a chart on the weekend for one of my realtor buddies of household income required. And it's, I can send it to you guys. It's pretty shocking how much money you need to be making right now for mortgages that were flying off the shelf in 2021.
So are you still seeing a lot of millennial and Gen Z? Because I feel like at least 2 years ago, if we were having this conversation, that was a huge cohort kind of coming into the market, right?
It, to a certain degree, they're discouraged. If there's family gifted funds coming their way, then yes. There's a lot of fear and anxiety out there about all of this, though, right? So, and you don't want to be the person that bought at the top. And there's people in my world who did that last year. And they're, you know, worried about that now. And then they talk to their friends. And as we talked about, like, it's just the topic of conversation, right? And always in that topic, there's someone who has that 2% fixed rate. And what do you mean you went variable? And so it's really, people are worried about doing the wrong thing in Vancouver right now too.
Right. It's interesting because we've been talking a lot about the low inventory. And I mean, it seems like a fairly obvious point, but what you just talked about people moving through the market, like we still see people moving through the market, but it's a scary time to sell. I feel like there's two types of people that we're talking to, right? Like there's a bedrock confidence where people are like, I just don't sell in bad markets. I don't have to sell. Why would I sell right now? I'm not going to. Yep. And then there's presumably the person you're speaking about who's like, first of all, it's a painful new payment and the numbers don't really make sense. But also you're not sure what you're going to get for your property. It might take a while. You're going to have to keep it clean for potentially, you know, it's not 5 days anymore. No. It's more like 6 weeks, maybe 3 months, who knows? And the result might be less than you were expecting. And then does it even make sense? I feel like there's a lot of reasons why you can put up with a one bed and den instead of a two bed or a three bed for at least a year.
And on top of that, there's nothing to buy. So that's the biggest bottleneck.
Yeah, even if you make out like a bandit on the sell,
you're waiting on inventory on the buy, right? So you don't want to sell first. So the timing seems really tricky right now. Like we have a lot of people that it's like they feel like they're in purgatory because they want to maybe move to the island or they want to move to the Okanagan or stay in Vancouver, but there's just not that perfect home. Well,
and that's the downsize crowd too. So, and that's where we'll eventually talk about reverse mortgages here, but that's where those people, I just am setting up something for clients in the interior. They're trying to downsize into a very specific type of property. So what we have to do is set them up with a mortgage plus HELOC while they're still working, not retired yet with lower income. And they may carry a bit of a mortgage for a while to get that 80% loan to value. Because on a home equity line of credit, you can only go to 65. So it's a whole complicated strategic plan so that they can just go buy and then sell. Because they have no idea how long it will take to sell. And they have no idea when this very specific property is going to come up that they need to buy. Whereas, you know, before you could buy, you knew you could sell your place within 30 days after that.
Right.
It was fine. Buy with a long closing. All will be good.
So it's like the double whammy of kind of global uncertainty, market uncertainty, but the market uncertainty translating down to like, okay, this is a very uncertain moment for me specifically, not only what's going to happen in the Ukraine, but more like, how does this look on the ground for me over the next 3 months? And it could be really stressful and really painful.
Exactly. And in fact, I think a lot about a conversation I had in the fall with clients going from Vancouver Island to the interior. And they were literally just calling me, you know, we'll just do a bridge or something. We're just going to buy this place in Naramata. And they had no offers on their place on the island. Thank goodness. Because I started explaining the carrying costs, private financing, how this could all play out. Wow. They didn't do it. And now looking back, hindsight, thank goodness. Because they would have lost a huge chunk of their equity.
I think moving maybe to reverse mortgages a bit. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I feel like we talk about HELOCs, home equity lines of credit, on this program a lot, and have over the years. And I think often people kind of lump reverse mortgages and HELOCs together. There are some pretty significant differences though, right? Can you kind of talk a little bit about how they're different?
Sure. So a HELOC, home equity line of credit, is a traditional mortgage in the sense that you have to make a monthly payment. So it's interest only, but there is a payment required. Can you draw from your available credit and keep making that payment? Sure, up to a certain limit, right? You have to income qualify for a HELOC. So it's stress tested. So everybody talks about the stress test. Currently, prime is 6.45. A HELOC would be at 6.95. That means you're stress testing at 8.95 today on a HELOC, meaning the outstanding or the credit limit amount over 25 years at 8.95 has to stay below 49% or 39% of your household income debt servicing.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be making big bucks, right? So when do you get a HELOC? You get a HELOC when you're...
Last year.
When you're dual income, lots of money. That's right.
Yeah, you 2021 was probably the time to do it.
Exactly. You cannot get a HELOC when your property is already listed for sale. I can't tell you the times I've had those calls over the years that somebody's thought, oh, we'll just get a HELOC. No, no, no. Your property's on MLS. It's not in a bank's interest to give you and do this whole underwriting for a mortgage that you're going to pay out in 60 days when you sell that property. So always set up your HELOC before you make any moves or think about making any moves. Reverse mortgage, completely different. A reverse mortgage, there's only two true reverse mortgage providers in Canada, Home Equity Bank and Equitable Bank. I partner with both of them. A reverse mortgage is a mortgage for, number one, borrowers over 55 years of age. And number two, it is a mortgage that you're never making a payment on. So the payments are just accumulating. And you get the mortgage amount based on the value of your house and your age. So more money, the older you are. So the 55-year-old is not getting a lot of money out of their reverse mortgage. So it's a product designed for, frankly, the older clientele. So people in their prime number would be like in their early 70s or 60s who are sitting on a free and clear home and want to use that home equity, which is part of their net worth, part of their wealth, to fund their lifestyle in whatever way they choose. So a reverse mortgage can be used to fund a second home. It can be used to help your children. It could be used to, these days, I'm having a lot more conversations with people who, it's expensive right now. Inflation's through the roof. I heard this morning that grocery store thievery, thefts have gone up 45%, like shoplifting in grocery stores. That's just a sign of what's happening. You know, right. Produce apparently is up 15%.
Lettuce is
right. Off bag the of charts. Grapes, $13.
You've been eating a lot of grapes.
Yeah, my husband will not buy grapes.
Yeah,
no way. It just fundamentally does not work for him. So, you know, when people retire, they have a plan. In Canada, we're programmed, pay off your mortgage, and then you retire mortgage-free, and you live on your various pensions and maybe some investments. Well, that's great, except property taxes have gone up, gas has gone up, groceries have gone up. So now the plan, there's more expenses left at the end of the month for a lot of seniors than there is money in the cash flow bank account. So a reverse mortgage can just be a way that they're pulling out a little bit of money every month from their home equity to just to fund life. And we see a lot of that now. Or they retired with a small mortgage balance or a small HELOC balance. That's a big one. And all of that's just getting to be too much. So we do a reverse mortgage and it can be a lump sum to clean up some debts, do some home repairs, and then provide $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month. That is tax-free. It's not going to affect your government subsidies, your pensions, because it's just your home equity. Mm-hmm. And the way these products work is you're never underwater. The bank's never going to give you more money than your house will ultimately be worth at the end of the day. And in fact, the modeling is such that your estate is going to end up with quite a lot of equity. So it used to be a product, frankly, when I started in the business 15 years ago, I'm like, oh, that's a terrible idea. And then I learned more and more about it and became certified and watched and saw the stories and helped people. And I'm like, this product's amazing.
So a HELOC, often you can go right to, you know, where you have up to 80%, right?
65% of the value. So 15% of that would have to be in a mortgage.
Okay. But it's less in a reverse mortgage, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So
there's a big buffer there.
There's
for
a huge
market
buffer.
Fluctuation.
Exactly. So, and men get more, or sorry, women get more money than men, because men don't live as long.
Right.
A big contingent for this is widowed women who are living in their house, husband has passed, they've outlived their spouse. And the idea to go into a condo or a townhouse and not have control of their yard and have all their neighbors and their community. You know, I've done a few on the North Shore as an example, because there's not a lot of townhouses. And the move down to a townhouse or a condo might be lateral for something that's equally as nice as their house. So maybe we take out some money out of their house to pay for the gardener and some maintenance and whatever until they're ready to sell. And they can then stay in their neighborhood. Because that's another issue, is depending on where their house is, it might not be their community where they could afford to go live and take the equity out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what, like, so you think about getting a HELOC, you're often looking at prime plus 0.5% or 0.25%.
Yeah.
Is that comparable when it comes to reverse mortgages?
Right now, a 5-year reverse mortgage is in around 7%. Prime is, no. I mean, it's going to be higher. There's an opportunity cost to the fact that you're never making a payment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. But when you run the math, even these days, I've been much more conservative. We used to run the math always with a 4% appreciation rate. Well, people are feeling kind of cranky and negative about everything right now. So I run it with a 1% or a 2% house appreciation rate. And we still can show them after 20 years that there's a lot of equity left there, even at 7% on a reverse mortgage, taking, you know, I'm working right now with a financial planner. And I should say, this product is something where I work with financial planner, often the accountant and the adult children in most cases. It's a big conversation because, and honestly, when adult children learn about this and they understand that they can just use a bit of mom's equity to keep mom in her house and keep her happy, there's never any question about it. They're all for it. And in a lot of cases, they don't understand the financial position that their parents were in, the debt, stuff that was left behind. They still didn't understand mom and dad still had a mortgage or whatever, right? So, because you can do a reverse mortgage to pay out a traditional mortgage as long as there's enough equity there.
So you have to be, this one of the requirements, if I understand, you have to be 55 years old for a reverse mortgage?
Yeah, but in reality, you need to be.
No, like, one's doing it at 55.
No one's doing it at 55. I mean, what am I going to, 52. Darn it, if I couldn't get a reverse mortgage in a few years. No, I'm still doing life. Like, I still have kids living in my house and all that stuff. But, you know, I've got one right now that I'm working with a financial planner, lady in her late 60s. She doesn't want to sell her place and it wouldn't make sense. But she's also worried that she doesn't have enough money every month right now. She's just running out of money. So, but we did a 20-year analysis. So she'll then be in her early 90s. Her dad's in his mid 90s, still alive. So that's a big concern for her, that is there going to be any house left, any equity left to then move me into a home or a retirement community? And yeah, there still is. And in that example, I'm using a 1% appreciation rate. And I'm working with her financial planner, who can then explain the numbers as well as myself, so that there's two of us working with her to explain it all.
Just to kind of go over the requirements then. So you have to be 55 mm-hmm. or older. It has to be your principal residence.
Correct.
And presumably you have to have equity in your home.
Yeah. Although we have done them for people to pay out an existing mortgage. So you can have a mortgage on there. It just can't be an 80% loan to value mortgage, because that's not going to work, right? So the older you are, the more money you'll get from a reverse mortgage. If there's a small little mortgage left, and in fact, there's a lot of stories about people that have a small mortgage going into retirement and they have a whole bunch of other debt. And we use a reverse mortgage to eliminate all of that to improve their cash flow. So now their pension and their other income works.
Interesting. And so I'm just curious, and this is going into the nuts and bolts here, but you mentioned a 5-year reverse mortgage. Mm-hmm. So are these fixed rates? Do they work?
Yeah, there is a variable option, which makes no sense right now.
So no, yeah.
Thank you, Bank of Canada. Because it's like prime plus 2.5 or something.
Okay, so generally people will lock in for 5 years, and at the end of 5 years,
it's a reset of the rate. So the rate will reset. So just like a traditional mortgage, but it's not a renewal that you're going to chop around. I mean, you're going to stay with that bank. Traditionally, people are staying in them for 5 years. If you're doing this for someone in their 70s or 80s, often after the 5-year term, there's a new plan. Or there might be a reset for 3 years and then it's a downsized plan or going into care. Or sadly, sometimes it's, you know, you're dealing with the estate. And when that happens and mom or dad passes or whoever, there is a period there where the house then needs to be sold and the bank is paid out. But it's not like you have 30 days, get on with it. They say it's 180 days. And I have one right now. It's one of the islands. And it's not a good time to sell on that island, right? It's a Gulf island. So that they'll be selling that probably a year after mom passed. And the bank's working with them on that and totally understands that.
Hey, everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
Right. You know, and this makes me think of these stories you hear about, you know, the scams that some elderly mm-hmm. person signed away their house right. and somehow it's they're moved out. And obviously that is not this, yep. but in terms of risks.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Such a good point. So yeah, there's risks and we do a lot of charts and we can model it out with 1% appreciation on the house, 2%, 4%, show them what their net equity at the end is. The other requirement on all reverse mortgages is something called ILA, independent legal advice. So when you go sign a mortgage, you have a lawyer or notary that registers with BC Land Titles. In the case of a reverse mortgage, there's a separate lawyer involved that sits down with the borrower and goes through ILA, independent legal advice about what you're doing here, that your payments are chunking up on top, right? It's growing. Your mortgage is growing and not going down. It's the reverse of what we think about for mortgages. You're never in a negative equity position with reverse mortgages in Canada. And there's some bad press out there. It's all on the south of the border side in the States in the 80s, 70s, 80s. There was a product there. The bank would own your house. You'd owe more than your house was worth. Your estate would be on the hook. None of that's happened.
Right. So regulation steps in.
Yeah. So these are Schedule I banks, Equitable Bank, Home Equity Bank. They are regulated and they're in conversations with the regulators constantly on the product. And with the change in the market and interest rates, we're getting less now. That's how this works, right? So
I'm just wondering in terms of like what you see. So it sounds like a lot of this is literally just to tap your equity for cash flow, like to just
yep.
survive, feed yourself.
That's a big, big chunk. There's also super cool creative ways of working on this.
Right. So, yeah. I'm kind of curious to hear about those.
So someone in the west side of Vancouver has a clear title, $3 million home. We do a reverse mortgage. It's a couple, let's just say, in their 70s. We do a reverse mortgage and pull out $800,000 and buy them a condo, clear title. So the mortgage is on their clear title home. They now own an $800,000 condo that's going to cash flow $2,000 a month because right. it's got no mortgage on it. They're going to cover the strata and taxes. As time goes on, they're now not pulling from their investments that might be sitting with their financial advisor, especially right now. Investments are down. So this is a fun strategy that financial advisors love right now because it leaves their
native calls that they have to make.
Yeah, no, it leaves that nest whole that's right. with the planner. And their cash flow is now coming from a rental in downtown Vancouver or wherever on Vancouver Island. Maybe that's where they want to end up eventually. Maybe they're buying this condo in Victoria. And property manager, but they're still going to net cash flow. And at the end of the day, their house over here on the west side of Vancouver is going up. Their condo is going up in value. Yes, the mortgage is also going up, but everything at the end, so is their nest egg with the financial planner going up. So it's just a way to leverage in retirement this huge asset. A lot of people don't use their house as an asset to leverage. So I like that one. A lot, actually. It's
and,
fun.
And just to be clear, you don't have to qualify because we worked with obviously a ton right. of retired people who have huge net worth and they're like, I can't, this is crazy. I can't get a Correct. Small mortgage.
Yeah. So there is an income test. You know, we go through the process and the lender wants to see just their CPP OAS statements. There's some income because there's property taxes and maintenance that has to be maintained on the house. There's always an appraisal required, full appraisal, detailed appraisal of the subject property home. We've had people use this to buy a house in another country. So Palm Springs, you buy your condo down there or a second home up in Whistler. We had one that I wasn't my clients, but a colleague that used a West Vancouver home to buy a house in Whistler for all the family to use. That was what they wanted to do in their retirement years, is take the equity, and then that Whistler house will be the inheritance to the kids, plus whatever's left net after the reverse mortgage of the West Vancouver house.
So maybe just to recap, Marcy, then. So can you give an example of what, like, you're seeing kind of people do over and over again?
Yeah. So also, I should say probably the biggest one we're seeing in Vancouver is reverse mortgage to gift early inheritance to children.
That's what I was going to ask.
Probably the biggest one.
Yeah, especially in this.
Until all this crazy inflation. And now it's like they also need money to go buy their grapes and their groceries. But yeah, that's a huge move that, where mom and dad are not ready to sell, or whichever parent is, often it's one parent's remaining, right? So mom's living in this house. It's a $2 million home, not ready to downsize. And there's all this equity there. Let's say it's clear title, $2 million. So she'll put a reverse mortgage for $500,000, give each child $250,000. And that's just their inheritance given to them early. So the interest is going to tack on to that when she passes or goes into care or downsizes. The house is sold. The reverse mortgage plus all the accrued interest is paid, and the rest goes to her estate.
So it actually, you know, I was thinking of this as helping adult children basically get a leg up in potentially the real estate market or whatever, or use this equity in a way where you don't have to wait till you're 65 or whatever to get an inheritance and be like, okay, now.
And somebody doesn't have to pay the carrying costs, because there are parents too that are gifting their children via HELOC. But someone's got to pay the interest on that.
Right.
Whereas if you're sitting on a clear title home and you do it in a reverse mortgage, there's no carrying cost. It's just going to come out of, in the wash out of the estate at the end.
Right.
And, you know, we were talking at the start about interest rates and qualifying and how much income is needed. So if you're only making $120,000 a year and you can get a mortgage for $400,000, but you don't have enough saved that you can get anything in the market that's reasonable, if mom or dad out of their reverse mortgage can gift you $400,000, now you're looking at an $800,000 starter condo. Mm-hmm. And you've got a lot of equity going in. So when we're doing it with the bank for the buyer, so the kid, it's a gifted down payment from mom and dad. Happens all the time. Guess what? Majority of my clients, gifted down payment. It's a thing. It's a big thing in Vancouver. Right.
And it has to be, right?
It's the wealth transfer.
And it has to be. And the reverse mortgage is a way, if they don't have a huge nest egg of other cash investments, or they don't want to cash those out right now because the market's down, they can use their wealth that they've built up in their primary residence to do that.
So there's three basic things here then. One is just straight up taking equity from your home to survive, buy the grapes, keep yourself in lettuce or whatever.
Yeah.
There's the second one in which people are buying property and using the cash flow, either becoming a landlord at 70 if you got the wherewithal to do it, or buying, say, that Whistler home where it's like, okay, you're
second
kind of leveraging your home, presumably to build more wealth over time. And then this last method of basically this wealth transfer where boomers, everyone has talked for years about this giant wealth transfer that's going to happen. And you're not waiting till, presumably the next generation's too old to really use it in a significant way that's going to change potentially the trajectory of their lives.
Yeah. And honestly, that parents being able to help their kids now and see it and see the house and help their kids buy in their same neighborhood. So I see this a lot in North Van, where the young kids that are now married and they have young grandchildren, but they could only buy out in Fraser Valley somewhere. But if mom can help them, now her grandkids are in North Van right there. That's huge, right? So that's a big one, is keeping all of things in the family and just having everything stay closer. And at the same time, sometimes in those cases with the gift, we're also doing a monthly draw for mom in the house. So you do the big reverse mortgage, there's a combo product. So you can do a chunk at the start and then a monthly draw of tax-free cash.
And I don't know if this would happen, but what happens if, you're in a 5-year product at 7%, and for what it, something happens and you live for another 20 years, but you don't need to continue on. Is that just product ends, you pay interest on that?
Correct.
Until the house sells 20 years from now?
Stop. And a lot of times what happens is they maybe downsize eventually, because then it's just, even with help, it's just too much to have a single family home. Right. So at that point that they downsize, they might just completely pay out Home Equity Bank or Equitable Bank and buy a clear title little condo somewhere, or even outside of Vancouver. They don't need a mortgage anymore. It's done. Mm-hmm. There are penalties in the first 3 years if you pay out a reverse. It shouldn't be a plan that you're just going to do for a couple of years, honestly. There is a product with Home Equity Bank that's an open product that's like a downsize bridge. I hate that word because bridge financing is so misunderstood. But if you were truly downsizing from $3 million to a $1 million condo, and you just want to go buy that condo, and you know you're going to sell that $3 million house within a year, there's a product for that too. It's an open, it's similar to a private financing, but it's a Schedule I bank versus going to a private lender. And it's for a lot of people in this demographic, it's more comfortable.
Well, maybe shifting gears, Marcy, a little bit here, and there's a lot to think about there. Two things I just wanted to touch on before we get you to forecast out, which do. OSFI just announced, mm-hmm. and I don't know if all the details are out yet, but basically that as government agencies or mm-hmm. governments seem to do pile on in bad times, they're going to potentially increase the requirements.
The stress test, the requirements
to get a mortgage. From what you've seen, what's your take on that? Is this good policy?
I mean, it's a bit like all the government stuff. You fix the problem after it's, you know, we have this 3-day rescission period in Vancouver right now for a problem that no longer exists, right? We'll see if what they actually do, it will have an impact in Vancouver, in particular for people with multiple mortgages potentially. So if they do this where your income, your mortgage can only be so many times your household income.
Right.
We get around that for people that own lots of properties by fancy rental spreadsheets and offsets. That will potentially impact that. We'll see what they do.
So it's it's going to impact, as far as just looking with mm-hmm. the little information we have, you're thinking it's real estate investors that
I think get hit. So we'll see what they actually come out and do. There was a period when borrowers were taking variable because they could qualify for it, but they couldn't qualify for the fixed plus 2%. And that really bothers OSFI right now that happened. So they're looking at, I think one of the things you're doing right now is all these unintended consequences, a deep dive into that. All of our associations, Mortgage Professionals Canada and Canadian Mortgage Broker Association of BC, they're talking with these regulators, as are very smart economists. So I don't know, that announcement last week, there were a couple of brokers in my office on our team chat that were kind of going off the deep end. And I'm like, settle, let's just see what they do. It's an announcement of an announcement at the end of the year.
Right. I feel like in every time this happens, it's always the same. There's some panic and then it's like, mm-hmm. calm down. And then it kind of,
I'm
like
choosing not to worry.
Right.
It's too soon to worry.
Last, and this will maybe go into the forecasting, but early on you mentioned trigger point, trigger mm-hmm. rate, the difference, what you're seeing, is there blood in the street? Will there be blood in the street? What's your take?
So trigger rate is that point where you're just paying all interest and no principal anymore to your lender. And a lot, if not maybe all, are there now. Even people who started last summer. They're there now because we've just gone boom, boom, boom. And what does that mean? It means that you're just never paying any equity. I'm actually at that point on one of my mortgages on a rental property. I don't care. I mean, I have 3 years left. You know, it's a rental. I'm writing off the interest anyway. It's a little bit more of a tax deduction. I'm not worried about it because that mortgage comes up for maturity in 2025. Now, I have a lot of equity in that property too. So I'm not going to get to my trigger point. The trigger point is where your amount owed plus all this accumulated interest, there's quite a few little variations and depends on the lender. But for example, with TD Bank, if you get to 80% of their value of that property on a conventional in terms of your mortgage balance plus all the accumulated interest, now you've hit your trigger point, 80%. So if you went into it with 25% down and for the big chunk of it, you were paying principal and interest, and now you're just paying interest, you're probably not going to ever hit that trigger point, or you're not going to necessarily get there. You probably
don't. So your payments are going to stay the same.
Yeah. You're still going to stay the same, and you're just owing the bank more and more money. I tell my clients, you know, stay ahead of it if you can. Even for myself, that particular mortgage, I've increased it a couple times, just a little, just because it's weird and bugs me that I see this amortization period of 89 years when I look at it online. It's like, Right. Well, that's depressing. But if you've got lots of equity, you don't need to worry about this. Now, where people put 10% down or 5% down and they've not increased voluntarily, and there's not a lot of equity there, and if they get to more than 95% of the value, there's your trigger point problem and conversation. In Vancouver, that's not a lot of people, right? In Vancouver, we do reverse mortgages and our parents help us and we have great big down payments.
Right.
But yeah, there could be a conversation there where people are going to need some help later from mom and dad because they're a little bit, you know, too close to that 80% or 95%. Now, if the Bank of Canada stops next week and we sit here for a year and everybody just kind of, and then by the end of this year, early next year, rates start getting cut. Well, now we start going in the opposite direction. And now your more of your payment is, or less of your payment is interest, more potentially getting back to a little bit of principal, and it'll all balance out. So people that took out a mortgage in 2020 and they're now 2.5 years in-ish, it might work out all okay by the end. Mm-hmm. But these are a lot of the conversations I'm having. And it may mean that been going hard for 10 years, you thought you were a 20-year amortization, and now we're going to have to stretch you out to 30 to make the bank happy.
Right.
Or move lenders at renewal.
So if I understand the trigger point, are you seeing people, like how often are you seeing the trigger point actually? And just to be clear, there's certain people in variable product where every time the rate goes up, it's guy on my street every time I see him.
I have one of those too.
Yeah, he's like, just went up another $300.
Yeah,
like,
that's my, okay, no more Amazon purchases. Everybody, Amazon is frozen because, one of ours is, so there's two types, right?
Yeah.
So some lenders, they send you this nasty letter all the time and your payment's going up. But is that a nasty letter? No, you're just keeping up with the times.
Right. You're just keeping your amortization period as it was intended to be.
Right. Versus the static payment, which is kind of like your head's in the sand here. Those are the people that are going to be having a harder time at renewal too.
Right. So just to be 100% clear here, so the static payment, if you bought a property, say in 2021.
Yep.
And you went variable and you have one of those static payments and you haven't been triggered, it's actually when it becomes, say, and it's an investment property. So at 80% is when it's like, okay, now you're being triggered. That's the trigger point.
If your accumulated interest plus the balance owing has hit, say, 80% of the value, and that's not happening for most people.
Right.
Because for the first bit, you were paying principal and interest.
Right.
And the letters are very vague. I've read the letters from a few of these lenders. The letter drives the client to call the lender. And guess what that conversation looks like? Oh, this is really bad and you should potentially lock in your mortgage. No one knows what's going to happen. And guess what? Banks make a lot of money when people lock into a 5-year fixed, especially right now. Mm-hmm. So don't call your lender, call your broker. Mm-hmm. That's my lesson, right? Because you call your lender I've done it just to see. And it's a fun conversation because they're telling you to lock in. They're telling you that who knows what the Bank of Canada is going to do next and the most secure thing to do. And then the unintended consequence of that is you try to sell that property in 2 years into a 5-year fixed and you're going to face a huge IRD penalty. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more that has to go around a locking in conversation.
Marcy, maybe as a final question, you've been very active in our market a number of years. You've seen a lot of different markets.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens in the Vancouver real estate market over the next 1, 3, 5 years?
I think this year is going to be very slow. I think we're then going to be similar to what happened after 2008, 2009, and 2016. It's just, it'll all be bouncing back. People are still coming here in droves. People still make lots of money here. There's lots of good ways to make money in Vancouver, big business here, and it's a very desirable place to live. I am not worried about it. I think this year we have to pare back for sure because stuff's expensive and it's very uncertain right now. Until we start having a sign that we're going to turn the corner on this, it's caution right now. But in the five-year picture, we're probably having a huge shortage by then because a lot of developers have stopped or slowed down. You know, I've landed at YVR here in the last 6 months and saw that area where people are coming to Canada. It's like packed, right? People are coming to Vancouver. And when they're coming to Canada, they're not going necessarily to Winnipeg or Edmonton. They're coming to Vancouver.
Is smart money buying now?
If you can get a mortgage, sure. Yeah, I think so. I mean, people talk about, oh, what if we're not at the bottom? Yeah, but if we're almost at the bottom and then it goes a little bit lower, but then if you've got a 10-year plan and if you've got cash right now and you can get a mortgage for the rest or whatever, it's a good year to buy, for sure. Just like I think it was 2009 was a pretty decent time to buy, right? So.
Well, Marcy, we have this segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions that we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
Sure.
The Five Wire is brought to you by Scalina Real Estate. Hey, that sounds familiar. Scalina Real Estate is a full-service real estate company serving Vancouver, offering comprehensive, tried and tested buyer and seller systems.
With over a decade in the top 10% of realtors in the Lower Mainland and a perfect 5-star Google review, Scalina Real Estate can help with all your real estate needs.
We also have an extensive network of the best industry professionals and trades right across the country.
There's no reason to not get in touch. Head over to scalinarealestate.com to find out more. Okay, Marcy, first question. One book,
yeah.
And I think you brought your own.
I brought a book. I brought a book. This isn't going to be the book I recommend, one but book this is yours.
You've recently read that you'd recommend.
Yeah. So I just read the Palace Papers over Christmas. Tina Brown, editor of Vanity Fair. I kind of went down the rabbit hole of the Meghan and Harry.
And so I'm almost on the cusp of that, weirdly.
Yeah, it's a very deep hole. So Palace Papers, fascinating stuff.
What does it cover? Does it cover literally just the last couple of years?
All the players. No, the last 10 years, 15 years. She talks about the whole Diana thing. It's fascinating stuff. I was very boring for a couple of days over Christmas because I couldn't put that book down.
I heard William hit Harry and it just sent me into a
tizzy. I know, right? Yeah. I just still think of those two boys on the funeral walking down, you know, little Harry holding Charles' hand, right? So, yeah. Anyway, that was a good one. I'm rereading Atomic Habits right now, which...
One of Adam's favorites.
Gets a lot of activity on this show, but yeah, that's a great one.
It's a good one.
It's one that I feel like you could read a couple times and always take more away from it.
Exactly. And then I brought you something called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, the Horse and the Fox, or The Fox and the Horse. I always mix up. Do you know it?
No.
All right, then. It's in the bag.
I don't even know if Adam knows. No. Marcy brought...
Yeah,
it's swag bags.
Wow. Yeah, you have things that you just give to people. I buy them in bulk.
Right.
So I buy them by 5 or 10 and I give those books to people. Okay. You can tell me after. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Question number two. In the last few years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
I would say my Peloton tread.
Okay, wait, the tread.
The tread.
So the tread.
No,
that's a treadmill,
bike.
Not a bike.
No bike.
Oh, the treadmill, right?
Treadmill.
That makes sense.
You don't have
I have the bike.
Yeah. No, I have the treadmill. Pre-COVID, I was an Orange Theory junkie.
Right.
Very similar.
Never heard of it.
My daughter and I, and then of course COVID killed all that. And my Peloton tread has solved that problem in my basement.
And so are you, so you're watching on screen, is there like an instructor on a treadmill in a room?
I have my favorite. I actually feel like I know him. I might be a bit of a psycho stalker if I ever saw him because I kind of have a couple favorites. You also compete against people. So like the Orange Theory. And then I have bought the band so I can see my heart rate if I'm in the zone.
You would love this.
It's very cool.
The competition part?
I think that's the thing is like, this is the thing about Peloton for me is that I go way harder because I get in these competitions with these guys who are live.
100%.
And women that are live at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always get like at least a 10, 20% better workout.
Totally. Yeah. You know, so you can do who's here right now, and you can compete against yourself. So if I did a class 6 months ago, and I go in waves, right, through the summer. So then you can go back and redo the class and beat your output from last time. Yesterday morning, it was this woman in Tulsa. You know, her and I are just randomly, and we happened to randomly start at the same time.
But man, do you hate her.
Oh, and she, in the end, I think she had about a minute on me at the end. And so she beat my output because she had 60 more seconds. Yeah. And I was so angry. Damn it, you know.
I had one of those one time, and the guy left in the last 5 minutes of the race, and his output just stopped. And I was I was so upset about it.
Yeah, because it was like it was a 45-minute race, right?
Is this just like on the bike? You go. My assumption is you go faster, you go slower. You're going up a hill.
How hard it
but
is.
But yeah. Right? So the running, is it like sprints and intervals?
So I actually mostly walk, but there are high intensity runs. But the other really cool thing is there's tread boot camp. So on Sunday, I did a 60-minute boot camp, which was like 15 minutes running. You get off, you're doing a bunch of weights with the thing still going, then you hop back on for 15 more minutes. And then there's stretching, there's yoga, there's meditation on there. Like, it's crazy how much stuff you can do on there.
And do it in your weighted vest, Matt.
You could. Then you'd be really borderline.
What have you been binge watching apart from, I guess, the Peloton instructor? What have you been binge watching lately, or a favorite movie?
Okay, so I just blew through Madoff.
Oh, everybody's talking about that. One person said it's so dark you almost don't want to watch it.
Yeah, then I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And I watched the first one and I was saying to my husband, you're going to like this. But then it's NFL playoffs, right, whatever that is. So I couldn't wait for him. He was going to take too long. So that one, and then The White Lotus.
Oh, season two. So I just finished.
It's a bit too much for me sometimes. I need to go back and watch a Hallmark movie every now and then because it's a lot, but it's very good. Yeah.
Question 4, favorite band or music genre?
You know what? I like all music. My Peloton guy is all 80s. That's my high school years. So that comes back. And then I'm a country music closet, especially driving. We have a place in the interior. I have a great Kenny Rogers story that involved a cop and a dog and no speeding ticket. So the gambler.
But Kenny wasn't there.
Kenny was not there, but the gambler was playing. Yeah.
For when we have you back.
Yeah.
Last question for you, Marcy. Something you have purchased for under $1,500 that has transformed your life in the last few years.
Well, so the Peloton was more than that, I think. I would say my COVID dog, which transformed in a lot of ways. She's amazing. We have two dogs. But you know what? In the darkest days of COVID, I brought her home, not fully authorized. I'll say that. we stayed married, but yeah, she's part golden retriever and part a whole bunch of other God knows what. And she's amazing. And she keeps us all. It's hard to be cranky when you have a 70-pound happy, bouncy thing going around you all day long. So, yeah.
We haven't had dog yet. That's a first.
Many firsts today. Ask Marcy. speaking of which, Marcy, how can people find out more about reverse mortgages, but all their mortgage needs?
Yeah, so Ask Marcy with no E, no Y, M-A-R-C-I. That's my main website. And then ask about reverse mortgages. If specifically reverse mortgages, there's a bunch of tabs there. A lot of the things we talked about, different scenarios. And I'm in North Van, so Google me. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. I'm pretty easy to find.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today.
No problem. That was fun.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Marcy Dean, reverse mortgage specialist and also mortgage broker who can help with all your financing needs over at Mortgage Architects.
Yeah, Matt, really enjoyed that conversation with Marcy. What a treat having her in the studio. And she came bearing gifts.
You know what? She came bearing knowledge.
Yes.
And she came bearing gifts. Notably, cuticle oil.
Right.
Which is something I'd never heard of. You've never even heard of cuticle.
Yeah. Now we're both just walking around with beautiful nails.
And, beautiful nails. And I realized I had a cuticle problem. That's when you know something's really, useful. You didn't even know you had an issue. And I found out I had an issue and it's now solved.
I wonder if that's something though, if you get dependent on cuticle oil.
Yeah, it's like lap chip or chip.
Chip what? What are you
lip
talking
chap.
About?
Lip chap.
Oh, that was bad.
Having a stroke.
Yeah. Anyways, what else do we got for the day?
What else do we have for the day? First off, somebody's probably heard the stats you gave at the start. And I just want to reiterate, those went out about a week ago on Instagram. You were doing some digging. You put that out on Instagram. We're putting out tons of great content. So if you're not there yet, it's at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. We also have
not.com on Instagram.
Oh, sorry. It's at Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
Exactly.
We also have our new website live, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. The feedback so far, it's a great user-friendly experience. Really easy to delve into each episode. You can isolate if you're looking for just investing advice, commercial real estate advice. It's a really user-friendly site. We have the live wire over there. We have things like, well, private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. I also want to say we've got more shirts coming. A lot of people reaching out about the shirts.
Right.
We got the Live at Kokomo Studios shirt, which was a very popular, I think our most popular shirt.
Now you've also, we should say you're the man behind the design.
I put a lot of effort into that design.
We've had a lot of positive feedback and you have a new design.
I have a new design.
I'm not unveiling it?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm saving that. But we've got it coming out. So this is in burgundy, maroon.
Right.
Maroon or burgundy? I said to somebody, do you like maroon? And they were like, maroon 5? And I was like, no. No, I'm not talking to you about maroon 5. But so maybe we should stick with burgundy. Nobody says maroon anymore. That's the way they describe the shirt.
Or maybe provide context. If you walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you like maroon?
We were talking about the shirts. Like as if I was copying a Maroon 5 logo. Anyways, regardless.
They're coming.
They're coming.
We'll have burgundy. Get them.
And then we've got a new design we're going to unveil. I'm telling you, this is the best design yet.
I got to agree. This one it's very clever, very cool.
Follow us on Instagram at Vancouver Real Estate Podcast, where you can figure out how to get your own shirt. And we're going to be giving these things away.
Yeah. Or sign up at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com to the live wire or private client services. Either way, if you want to talk about that, shirts, real estate, anything else, you can try me at any time, 778-847-2854. Or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We also got that Kokomo line info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week, guys, and we're back next week with another great episode.
Enjoy. Take care.
2,000 Spaces for Radio. Subscribe today.